Hello, everybody. Once again, it's Casey Trufo here with the International Therapist Leadership Institute and your host for the Practice Building Conference. I'm extraordinarily excited today to be doing this conference with you, knowing that we have many therapists, coaches, healers on the line, and I'm just so excited about this particular call that we're going to be doing now, and you guys are really in for a treat. And the reason I asked Dr. Overzer, many of you know of Dr. Overzer. He provides a lot of web educational stuff at ZURinstitute.com, a lot of CEU programs and other kinds of information about practice building and about how to be a better therapist there. And years ago, I met Dr. Overzer via his site, actually. I was starting a practice, got a lot of his information, learned a lot, and then over the years we've connected. And one of the reasons that I wanted you to speak at this on this particular topic, I know you speak a lot about money and a lot about digital ethics and about digital immigrants and a lot of cool stuff. But I know that recently you moved, right, to a new city, and you had to kind of practice what you preach in terms of starting a new practice. Is that right?
Kind of, you know, it's not too intensely, but yes, I mean, I have to start some new here, absolutely.
Okay, so I know that you've got...
As intensely as it's 20.
And it's different than when you started your practice years ago, right?
Oh, I would say. And
yeah.
We'll discuss it this evening.
Yes. So before we get started, just any words of hope that you might reach out to people that might be out there kind of struggling, that are trying to get there?
The hope will come kind of through the presentation. Let me tell you where we are. As you were introducing the topic, I just finished an email I wrote to the faculty of my son's school, okay? And it goes like that. Dear faculty, I hope you had a good weekend. This is actually is a recap of what I wrote on October 3rd, and I just reiterated. This is after the death of the Rutgers students.
Yes.
About the cyberbullying. So this was October 3rd, and I'm just rewriting it today, but here it is. I hope you had a good weekend. With the tragic death of Rutgers University student due to cyberbullying, and then I give the link, this might be a good opportunity to educate our student that what may seem fun to them at the moment of posting can be hurtful and even fatal. I know that many of the high school students in our school are aware of the suicide, and this week can be used as teaching opportunity to help them reflect and to be more aware about what cyberbullying is and the unintended consequences that impulsive and thoughtless posting can bring. I think it is important to educate or remind the students to be aware that with the absence of direct feedback from the target person or the victim due to online medium, young people are not aware of the impact of their actions. Additionally, the internet promotes a disinhibition effect, which can often lead young people to post content they would not communicate personally face-to-face. I have a lot of resources online on that. I give the links. Let me know if I can be of further help.
Nice.
Okay. What is that? When I moved to Sonoma, which is not much different than what happened right now, in 1988, I did a lecture on what we call fighting and loving. This is what we call it. Free lecture to the community on fighting and loving. When you know you put sex and violence together, you can't miss. You're going to get a draw. So we have a standing room only. We didn't charge anything. Not much difference of what I did kind of this couple of weeks ago. There is an issue on the table. I put it out. I'm being invited to talk to the parents and the students about cyberbullying. And before you know, I had in Sonoma a full private practice with waiting list within probably a month of moving in. And that's what will happen here if I continue to do more public presentations here in the new town of Sebastopol. I'm a little bit playing it a little bit lower key because I don't want to build a big practice here right now. But what I would do is I'll give many tips in this hour of what I'll do. But this email captures a lot of the easiest way to build a private practice whether there is a rape in the community, whether there is gang activity in the community, whether there is they busted some kids on the school for drinking or smoking marijuana during school time, marital rape that hit the local paper, whatever it is, you can whether do an interview with a local paper, with a local radio on this very issue, or give a presentation. What's different between now and 1988, that in this email that I just read to you, there is a link to my webpage. So if I were to start today, I will identify what are some of the hot issues in my community. And you can live in downtown LA and you still have a church community, you have LGBT community, you live in downtown New York or in Manhattan, there are local issues there. There are communities everywhere, whether it's a school community, the way this email is geared to, or neighborhood, or church, or synagogue, or whatever it is, ethnic minorities that you have affiliation with, there are issues that needs attending to. And once you put this kind of poster, posting out that this lecture is coming up by such and such on an issue that is very hot and very relevant, a few things will happen. First of all, you are being seen as an expert. Secondly, people will go to your website. So now we come to the second point. Besides presenting or talking to the local paper or to the radio or to the newspaper about relevant hot issue in the community, I did the same thing in Sonoma where it was a school shooting. So can school shooting happen in our community? Believe me, it was attended by teachers and parents and principals. I mean, who would ignore? This is right after. Which one was a big school shooting?
Columbine.
In Columbine. Right after Columbine, we did 3 days. The paper put a notice on the free presentation. I wrote a few words about, I mean, a big deal. I Googled and become an expert within 24 hours about school shooting. All the information was there. It happened to be in the area of that I have interest, so it was easier for me to catch up. But every educated person, we all have MAs and PhDs and whatever, masters in social work, and we can catch up on the research, and we present. Then what's the difference between then and now is that now they're going to my website. So every poster, every radio interview, even you right now already gave my website out. That means they can go to my website and identify and see kind of who I am. And that brings us to the next issue. It brings us to the issue of if you want to be successful at this day and age, you need to have a website that will reflect your expertise. Before I go to the website, Casey, do you want to do something more about the first part?
No, go ahead. This is awesome.
Can you unmute them so they can?
Yes. If you have a question, please just press star 2 if you're on the phone. And if you're on the webcast, put it in that little Q&A box. We truly do want to be able to answer your questions as we go along. There is one question here. Do you want to take that now?
Go ahead. Yeah. Give it to me.
Okay. It says, basically, I'm paraphrasing here. I understand you wrote the email to your son's school, but how do you get an interview with the radio?
A very good question. You just call the radio or email the radio, and you write the same email that I read to you right now. You write to, it's the same email. There's a major issue that happened in our community, and we need to attend to that, and I can help.
So in that letter that you wrote to your son's school, you didn't say, I'm planning on doing a talk on this. You said, I think this is...
Actually, it ended up like that, yes. It ended up, I would like to propose a session for the students and their parents about cyberbullying.
So you were very directive.
I was very direct, and I'm available. And for the radio, it's the same email. Something happened in Rutgers. We don't want it to repeat in our hands. As you can see in the email, I showed them that I use a word like disinhibition effect, or then I talk about that young people do not see the communication, they don't get the feedback, so they get the sense that I'm an expert. I gave them, like, in one sentence, I show them I know what I'm talking about. And the same thing to the newspaper. The newspaper would love to have a local expert being interviewed. most newspapers are just dying to somebody semi-intelligent to say something semi-relevant.
And especially related to...
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, especially related to a hot button, because as soon as something comes up, they don't want to have to go searching for an expert. You send them information, they're often really happy to jump on it.
Absolutely. So it's a newspaper, radio, call the radio, send email to five people in the radio station, from the manager to the marketing to the program director. When you send it to the local paper, get it to the person that wrote about these issues in the past. If you put cyberbullying into your local paper, you'll see which reporter wrote about cyberbullying recently or in the last couple of years, because it'll be in the archive, and you can direct your email to them as well as to the editor. What's the big deal? You just CC as many as you can. Doesn't hurt.
Love it. Love it. Great tip.
Did it answer the question, Casey?
It did. It did.
Okay. So now we are moving along to the part, whether you succeed to get a gig or you were in the paper or not, what happened when if they put a presentation about you, you have a poster out there and you name it there, and under your name there'll be your website.
Yes.
This is kind of goes together. And when they get to your website, they need to find out, first of all, to connect with you and to see a picture of you of some sort. And hopefully you are not too stiff, but you are professional. If you love dog, it's okay to have a picture with the dog. If you are a horse person, it's okay. But just something real about you that they can connect. Then the website, they can link about many things within the homepage. The homepage may have a few sentences about your mission statement. What do you stand for? Whether I'm critical of the DSM, and I believe that people, that most depression is existential, and I'm committed to help people to live with integrity without feeling victimized and accept their relationship to death, whatever that feel close to your heart. I help people with depression or anxiety, whatever you want to write. But something in a sentence or two that people just look at your face, short video of a minute or two can be good, a picture minimum, and some kind of a mission statement. And then they can go to all kinds of links within your website. And some of them will go to your CV. Some of them will go to your mission statement. Another link will go to resources. Another link will go to your bio, more personal bio. Forget about direction to your office. It's kind of old and stupid. People have navigators on their cell phone right now, and the old timers will find it through Google Maps. So don't worry about direction to your office. And you can put it on to get a Google Map in your contact us information. Your phone should be kind of pretty clear. And modern day consumer do a few things. They would like to see a nice modern looking website. They do comparative shopping. And they would like to get self-disclosure. That means they would like transparency. They would like to get a sense of who you are. When you have a resources page, one of the many pages that they can link from the homepage, make sure that you don't just give links to American Psychological Association or to CAMF, because they're useless. What you want to have is links to real papers or guidelines that help how to deal with anxiety, how to deal with depression, how to deal with infidelity, how to deal with ADHD kids, if you believe in the ADHD diagnosis. It's like a little bit of a how-to. So when they go to this section of your page, they can get real help. Giving them AmericanPsychologicalAssociation.org, APA.org, with their thousands and thousands of pages is not very helpful. And people would like to go with a click or two to get to the place where they know how to deal with a recent affair. What to do with internet addiction? What to do if my child spent too much time on Facebook? Whose child doesn't spend too much time on Facebook? So you are being helpful in your website. You are being personal, and you look modern.
So you think it's okay to put links in off of your site? I usually recommend people don't do that because I want them to see me as the expert. But you're saying that it gives you added credibility if you give them links off your site?
You know, depends. That's a very good point. I don't give much external link because I wrote on, I don't know.
Yes, you have an answer for almost everything on your site.
Thank you, Casey, for bailing me out, so I don't need to say it myself. Because I have dozens and dozens of articles online that I wrote on all the topics that I mentioned and many, many more. So I have a free articles page that is get bigger by the hour. So, but most people and most therapists, we need to just, if they get help in issues of parenting, internet addiction, ADHD, infidelity, anxiety, and they'll view you as helpful. So if you don't have the articles yourself and you didn't write it or you cannot compose guidelines, use links.
Okay.
Sometimes you can post other people's pages if you get permission.
Right.
I ask regularly people to frame my articles. I say as long as you put a link to my original page, you're fine to do that.
Right.
So in this case, they stay on your site. What else do you need your thoughts about website?
Do you think we need to spend a lot of money to make a professional-looking website?
You know, depends. You know, it depends on your technology. My daughter thinks it's idiotic. She's a digital native. She's young. And she can do her website in probably 20 minutes. And it won't cost her anything. And I think that it depends on your technology. If you can do it yourself, you can do it for free. If you are a digital immigrant, that means you are in the 45 or 50 years and older, and you are not highly techy, you can pay somebody a few hundred dollars. It doesn't need to be a few thousand dollars. And you can have a website being ready. Make sure, it's very important, that your domain name reflects your name or reflects some kind of a content, anxietytreatment.com or drofferzur.com, in my case, Zur Institute. So have a name, so it's not like a name of a company that gives you the website / your name. So make sure that kind of it looks much more professional. Casey, help me say it clearer than that.
No, I think that's very well done. You want it to look professional, and I think that you can also use your city, like marriagecounselinginberkeley.com.
Yes.
Which is nice. So always buy your name and then buy something else that would help them get to you. So I do think that's important. But I agree. I don't think that we need to spend thousands of dollars anymore. You can either get a templated system. I know Juliet Austin, one of our colleagues, does websites for therapists. But I really like what you said about having it both personal information and showing that you're an expert and not linking to professional organizations. I think that drives me crazy, too. We kind of jumped over the money issue. Did you want to talk about that?
You know, let's kind of do a little bit more, get a chunk a little bit about the website, and then we'll come back to the money and the business.
Go for it.
How's that?
Okay, perfect.
Okay, so now you have a website that you either created yourself, and you show up. Again, you are being personal. Your bio is very personal. Your picture are personal. So people can connect with you. So when you do comparative shopping, they see that you are real, and they can connect with your values that are being expressed. Then there's a way that you in this day and age, you need to market your website. And there are many ways to do that. And this is, unless you are really an expert, you may need to get some help here. Starting a blog is one idea. People like to interact with material online. So I have a blog on victimization, blog on DSM, blog on infidelity, blog on touching people in psychotherapy, on boundaries. I have like 6-7 blogs. And people go there and just enter. So they're interacting with me. And this is a way that they, especially the young one, view the internet. They do not view it as a passive site. Another way is that you need to market your website. And if you don't know what SEO, don't worry about it. Just hire somebody. You don't need to pay thousands of dollars, but it may cost $100, $200 a month to perform search engine optimization. I won't get into that. If you don't know what it is, you need to hire somebody.
Well, and Peter Hanna will be talking later about that for us.
Excellent. Okay, so keep the content fresh and change it. Now, you may want to do Google Ads, and if you don't know what it is, either learn or hire somebody. One of the newest things that has to do with website right now is to invest in social networking marketing. And all the old digital immigrant ethicists and professors who know nothing about the internet are all up in arms about, oh my goodness, you're going to use social networking for marketing. It's a way of the future. If you start your practice today and you don't use Facebook page or Twitter to market your practice, you'll stay behind. If you don't believe me, check on IBM and Bank of America, on Casey number of sites, and anybody else. If you, there is a way to do it with Facebook page that is not interactive, but people can like it, and then you need to have an office policies at matching, telling people that you don't deal with confidential information and stuff like that. So I have no doubt. Do you have somebody in this conference to talk about social networking marketing?
Yes, we have Shema Haidar-Kabbani, who wrote the book The Zen of Social Media, and she's going to be talking about the Zen of Social Media for therapists.
And marketing as well.
Exactly.
Excellent. Okay. So don't listen to your old ethics professors.
Right.
Who don't even have a Facebook page. And
those people are driving me crazy, Ofer.
Say it again?
Those people are driving me crazy.
I know. It is just so, they're so behind time. It's like so much of our educators as well. They're just so behind time. Our educator for our kids and educator for us in school. I've lectured in L.A. for the Department of Mental Health. It was so enlightening. And some of the young therapists said, do you have a Facebook page for marketing? And they say, yes. I wanted to know, to push a little bit more, do you have yourself in a bikini in a Facebook page that your clients can see? I asked her. And she just gave me a look, and she said, you know, you are all dinosaur. What's with you? I mean, this is how... So kind of, she didn't say anything, just her look said it all, you know?
Yeah.
The transparency that young people are used to and accustomed to and feeling it's kind of the way of life for them, it's something that just you and Casey, we have never known and we barely can comprehend it, but we better comprehend it if we want to teach people how to do that. So the transparency is enormous. Not that I advocate that you put your bikini picture on your Facebook for marketing, but the tolerance for high level of transparency without an eyebrow, it's just incredible among the digital natives, the young ones.
Very true. So let me see if I can get what you're trying to say. What you're saying is the younger people expect us to be infinitely more transparent. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely.
Right.
Bikini and all, in some regard, even though, I mean, goodness, I would not put myself in a bikini. Would you, Casey?
No, but I actually have a colleague who is a therapist who is losing weight and has a picture of herself in a bikini showing her weight loss, and she's a therapist on her site. And she is getting good response from people because part of it is because she helps people lose weight. And so she's showing that it's possible. I couldn't do it just because I'm 57 years old and don't want to put myself in there. But it, what you're saying is you're not recommending we do that, but what you're saying is that it's not unexpected.
It's not unexpected among the natives, among the young ones. So you need to listen to the section here this week on internet marketing, on SEO, and if you don't want to do it like me, like my daughter does my Facebook marketing, the internet, you go to Facebook and you put Zur Institute and you'll see what my daughter is doing there. My two sons cannot believe that I pay my daughter to go on Facebook. They are so upset with the idea that somebody is getting paid to go on Facebook, hundreds of dollars a month. So, but I pay her happily, so
you know,
I don't need to be involved.
If I can just say this, social media now is what websites were like 10, 20 years ago. If you got on and had a website early on and you were marketing with that website, that was awesome. And now websites are so common. Yes, you need one, but everybody has one. If you're not marketing on social media, you're going to catch up. And then there's going to be so many other people on there that you're going to be lost in there. So I hope you will listen to Ofer and also to Shema's presentation too.
Excellent. And listen, it for two dinosaurs like Casey and I.
Exactly.
You know, if we say it, there must be something to it. So if you start today, not only a website with the key elements that I described earlier, you have somebody who does the AdWords. Try to get you inbound links. If you don't know what I'm talking about, get an expert, get the SEO, and get the social networking marketing.
Now,
so
what about marketing to a specialty?
Online or in
promotional? Online. Online.
Do you know, there are many ways to do that. I'm not super expert with that. I think I would have done it through the AdWords.
Would you recommend it? Picking a specialty for your website.
If you have an expertise, like if I have ethics, kind of huge part of my stuff. If you put dual relationship and ethics, I come first, not because I really did anything kind of spectacular to market it, just because I have a lot of material online. So if you focus on your website on anxiety, and anxiety appears in hundreds of your pages or dozens of your pages, not just in the meta tags, but in the titles as well as in the text, and you have been around for a while, and you update your pages, and you have somebody who does the SEO, you will be picked up by specialties. This would be my approach, and probably there are more specialized approach than that. But because I wrote so much about each of these topics, I show up really high, number one, number two, often on Google, because a lot of material that focus on certain issues where my expertise is. Does it answer your question?
Yes, it does, but I think I'm going to have to put in my two cents here. I think things have changed because you had so much content for such a long time that you already had some pretty high rankings because of the amount of content you had. If you're starting today, I think what is important is to pick something that interests you and become known for that, but also we're trying to build a practice that I'm sure you're going to talk about this, well, actually you already did, which is beyond internet marketing, which is really about getting back out into the community. And
yeah, so let's so we covered kind of the original kind of presenting your community. We talk about internet, and we can talk about it for hours, but you'll have other sessions. Let's kind of continue beyond the website. Can we do that?
Please, go for it.
At the heart of marketing is your relationship to being a businessman or a businesswoman. We, all of us here in this conference, did not go to get our master's in business administration. We didn't go to school to study business. We didn't do course in business management, profit or nonprofit. We just went to the field because we're interested in healing. But many of us not only don't know much about business and marketing, we have an almost antipathy to that. We kind of have a negative response to the whole idea that we are entrepreneurs. And I grew up with this idea. My mother was a psychologist in Israel. She never was paid to one client that she has ever seen in her life in our house. She was paid by university and the University of Tel Aviv and the Ministry of Education. But for her, therapy was just giving. And I remember, for me, I felt guilty for charging $5 a session when I started in 1984. And because I didn't think about myself as a businessman, I was following my calling, I was following my vocation to do healing. To healing about war and gender issue and marriages, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I think the idea of following our calling can really interfere with the idea of being able to be successful as business people. We need to think about ourselves as entrepreneurs. The young ones, I think, with the internet and the website, can think about themselves easier than kind of the middle age and the older therapist. But it's nice value to have a calling, and definitely therapy is my calling and my vocation. But that's not enough. I need to think myself as an entrepreneur, as a businessman, and to run it as a business. And that brings it to our relationship to money, not only to business. A lot of us see healing and profit as something that are incompatible. And I had to overcome it myself, and many people say Ofer did a good job, and I sure worked on it really hard. So if I say you are a businessman first, or your entrepreneur first, and you have a recoil response, set a consultation with Casey, set a consultation with me, or talk to your therapist, who, but maybe your therapist may not be very helpful because they have the same problem as you do, and start getting overcoming your negative responses to being an entrepreneur. Because if you are not, you won't be successful, and your website will not reflect this entrepreneurial drive that people will need to see in it. And vocation is wonderful, and calling is wonderful, but by itself, it's actually a hindrance rather than an asset to the business of psychotherapy. And Casey, you and I have talked about it a lot in other conferences. Can you put it in your words, what I'm saying?
Well, that's funny, because that's the title of my new book, is The Entrepreneurial Therapist. And I think that we really do. Well, somebody said to me the other day, how much do you love your business, doing your business? And I said, oh, I love it. And they said, would you pay to do it? You know, you have to think about that for a second. And if we're not treating our business as a business, then on some level, we're paying to do it. And I think that's an important thing to think about. We really do need to be our business's fiercest advocate. We need to figure out what is best for our business, not just for us personally. And I know that that is a little bit of a stretch for many of us. But the other thing that I'm seeing is that we are growing as a community and we are changing. And I think we are having a more of a curiosity about business. And I agree. I think that having a curiosity about business, and then the money part goes along with that, is what is the single biggest thing that keeps people from being as successful as they'd like. If they're not curious about business, wanting to learn more, if they over-identify with their business success, okay, if the business is doing well, then I'm okay. And if they don't have their ducks in a row about money, I think that those are the big things that make a successful clinician versus in private practice versus not as successful.
And the question around money are, what have you learned about money in your family of origin?
Mm-hmm.
What did you learn about the relationship to entrepreneurship? Who taught you about money? What happened if you think about yourself as making a lot of money? And a lot of people kind of snubbing their nose at these ideas, and you will not be successful if you don't just allow yourself the idea that you can be wealthy, as Casey kind of call her other book, The Wealthy Therapist.
Mm-hmm.
If you can be wealthy as well as a healer. And again, the idea of the calling needs to take a second place to the business, because you have to be first in the business and then the calling on top of it. If you get the order wrong, and you talk to somebody who is very idealistic and kind of fought for a lot of, left Israel for moral reasons, so idealism is not foreign to me. But I look at my private practice as a business where I employ myself.
Exactly, exactly. And that's one of the things that the business has needs. It needs resources. It needs time and attention. And we as individuals need that too. But sometimes they're separate.
And you need to invest in a business. I mean, everybody thinks that they're investing in the renting a room and in a business card. It's enough. It's idiotic. This is not how people succeed in business, whether it's a shoe store or Amazon.com.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have a budget for marketing. You have either you know how to run the business, or you get an accountant and a business manager that help you run the business of private practice.
And it's also not rocket science. There's things you can learn to make it go really easily and smoothly. You just want to, you know, on the kickoff call, Mark Silver called it, you want to create a sacred container for your business. Because your business is a separate container. I really like that.
Yeah, I'm not sure if sacred, separate. Sacred it gets me worried because it gets into the calling and we get idealistic and then we all get huffy about the business. So I'll be watch out for words like sacred, calling, and vocation and kind of, you know, because it's so easy derailing us from the business part.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I can relate to all these words with all my heart and my soul.
Right, but what you're saying is that we need to have, it has to be a separate thing we give attention to. And that,
yeah,
for therapists and coaches traditionally has not been something like that, because it doesn't take much. It's not like starting a restaurant. If we're starting a restaurant, it takes a lot of investment, financial investment, energy, other resources. Starting a practice, you just need some kind of phone and maybe a website. and maybe some office space. And so it's
the mental space you need to be is you be like a restaurant.
Exactly.
I need to get people into this restaurant. I need to reach them. I need to tell them what's unique about this restaurant, what they'll get when they come to the restaurant. I have to be personal about my statement. So in some regard, look at it as a restaurant,
Even
though, of course, it's so look at it as a shoe store. Look at it as a restaurant. So let's kind of talk. So we talk about kind of how to deal with recent event in the community. We talk about the website. We talk about the mind frame, kind of what kind of frame of mind you need to bring to the business of therapy. And Casey materials and my material, we have been dealing with that for years and years and years, kind of try to help therapists look at this differently. Graduate school are so useless and even harmful when it comes to the issues of business, but what's saving grace right now is that the young people who love the website and love the social networking are going also much more business-oriented in some regard. They can see that the Internet can bring money. So there's a little bit more business orientation to the young one and less kind of the idealism of the psychodynamic psychotherapist, bless their hearts. So then kind of let's go a little bit kind of about part of the business is you need to get something kind of, you don't need to reinvent the wheels, you get the clinical forms, and probably many of you that listen to that know that I have 61 clinical forms that you need to have in place. The important part kind of that I'm added lately to the clinical form is because we are going to use social networking marketing, you need to have some forms that explain to clients what is your social media policy. And my new forms include social media policy that explain is that I don't do therapy online. Please don't post confidential information. I will not respond to confidential information, blah, blah, blah. Do I accept people to Facebook friends or not? Do I Google my clients or not? All this stuff goes into the office policies. So somehow, as we have new business practices, they need to reflect in the office policies that all clients get before they come into the first session.
We have a question on that. It says, when you discuss Facebook marketing, were you referring to marketing on your personal Facebook page? You were talking about your business first page.
I'm talking my business one, and my daughter told me it's a bad etiquette on Facebook to have two profiles, personal and professional. So I don't have personal. I have Zur Institute. One, they forced me to call it Offer Zur PhD, and the page is for the Zur Institute. So I don't see why you can't have two Facebook pages, but my daughter says it's bad etiquette, so I have no idea why. But I'm talking about my professional Facebook
page. Okay, great.
Very good question.
Okay.
And then the question is, what about the personal one that you allow to connect with your buddies and stuff? I don't have the, do you have the answer for that, Casey?
No, but maybe we'll ask Shema when she talks about social media.
Okay, I'll check with my daughter on that because perhaps she changed her mind.
Yeah.
And
I don't have a personal one. All I have is my business one.
That's what I do, too.
Yeah.
Any more questions?
No, that's all I got so far.
Comment? So let's kind of talk a little bit more marketing the old way, because we need to – just doing it online doesn't do the trick. Because I see that the Internet, the web pages are being used often when somebody refer, like your physician refer a client to you. And before they see you, they usually do two things. They check your website and they Google you. They do both. I mean, to be in one swoop, hopefully your website will show on a Google search very high. But they'll Google you in others. They may check your Yelp rating and to see whether people commented on you in Yelp.com. So the website itself, most people, if you put anxiety in a therapist in New York City, they will not find you, even though if you practice, you deal with anxiety in New York City, because there will be millions of other sites that will show up. But so the website, they'll often get there after they got a referral to you or heard about you other ways through the what we talk about, the radio, or we talk about the school lecture. But then there's other way to market yourself in the community. We talk about free lectures on old topics or new topics for PTA, for Rotary Club, for the local emergency room stuff. All of these groups are looking for intelligent people who will entertain them during lunch or give some content to a PTA meeting that would be a better draw. For the ERs, for the emergency room stuff, you can talk about the nature of bipolar and what do we know about recent development in the field of schizophrenia. So you look around your community and see, how can I establish myself as an expert educator? This is kind of the next point I would like to make. You want to establish yourself as an expert educator because then people will refer people, will refer clients to you, and then the clients, before they see you, will check your website. So it's all kind of tied together.
Mm.
Most modern clients will not see you before they check you online. 78 to 85% of the people will check you online before they see you. Probably while they're calling you on the first call, while they're talking to you, they'll Google you and see kind of what your website looks like. But if you go to a meeting of a PTA and give a lecture about, I don't know, internet addiction, ADHD, I mean, zillions of other bullying, letting go, transition to high school, transition to college, transition out of the house, you go to caring for taking care of the caretaker. You go to old people's home, and you are looking to the family member who take care of the older people, either at home or in the nursing home, primarily women. And they need care. They need self-care. And so you go to the nursing home or the old people's home and try to gear your presentation towards those who are taking care of the people in the nursing home. And you give a lecture about self-care. Probably most therapists are capable of doing it. If you are not comfortable in giving a presentation, write a little article in the local newspaper for the nursing home. It will come to the caregivers. Write an article for the PTA bulletin about some relevant issue about kids and multitasking. And if you don't know anything about it, spend half a day getting some good articles about multitasking. What do we know about brain research? What do we know about the kids? And write an article.
I think what you're really pointing out is, instead of coming from a scared, oh my gosh, I'm trying to get clients, I hope you like me place, you're coming from a place of, I have something of value, and there's a hot button that I imagine is on your brain right now, and I want to be a resource for you.
Exactly. I'm an expert, and I can help you. I can be a resource for you. I can help you. I can help you deal with your own burnout if you take care of your mother-in-law. I can help you deal with a toddler that you seem to you out of control. And who doesn't need help with their kids from age 13 on with their internet use? Talking about one parent, show me a parent of kids between 13 and 18 that are not concerned about Facebook.
A few people are asking, if you're interested in Dr. Zur's forms, do you want to go to... Is it ZurInstitute.com?
ZurInstitute.com, and on the left side you'll see the clinical forms.
And you can see there, and there you're also going to have examples of the policy statements you're talking about social networking and things like that.
It's in the forms that are actually suggesting how to use a social network.
Great. And I started out with those forms, so I highly recommend those forms.
This was a long time ago, Casey.
Yeah, it was, gosh, I don't even want to think when that was. That was almost like 17, 18 years ago. So
I know.
Okay, so do we have a question here? Can we take that? Okay,
sure.
So let me, I'm going to unmute a wireless caller here from Kentucky. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Casey, it's Marilyn.
Hi, Marilyn.
Kentucky. I have a question back to Facebook. I don't understand how you can just have one Facebook page, because when I did my business page, I had to have a personal account. So if there's a way around that, I'd love to know that.
No, there isn't. You need to have my personal account of Ofer Zur PhD. You go check it out. Just go to Facebook and put Ofer Zur. You'll see what my Ofer Zur PhD look like. And
right.
Then go and go to Zur Institute page that is tied to my profile, and you'll see that both of them are actually highly professional. Thank God.
Okay, I've looked at that before, so I will do that again.
And I don't have my picture in a bikini there. I mean, I do have, if you really search my website, you'll find out my Kilimanjaro picture or Casey, I'm going to China, I think, in December because
wow.
I'm going to lecture in Singapore again. This time I'm going to do China, I think.
Mm.
Some remote part of the wall because you know my interest in boundaries.
Yes.
So what is more the bigger boundary on the planet than the great Chinese wall, yeah?
Yeah.
So I'm going to do China. Anyway, so...
Marilyn, we'll get more information from the social media expert, too. How's that?
That sounds good.
Because I think that Ofer and I know a fair amount about it from a 30,000-foot view, but if I speak for both of us, I doubt both of us know all of the detail at the 5-foot view. Is that right, Ofer?
Oh, my goodness. No. I leave it for my daughter. I don't... Oh, my goodness. No.
All right.
No. Don't scare me even, Casey.
Okay, thanks, Marilyn. Okay. All right, great. Okay, but thank you for the question. Again, there's some on your handout, people are asking, you have a section on flexibility.
Oh, my goodness. Do you want to stop me on that? Give me 5 days on that? Okay. the baby boomers, we're growing older, and we like to be served, and we like to be served when we like to be served, when we want to be served, and we're going soon. Even though Casey is doing her bike riding and I'm climbing Kilimanjaro and going to the Great China Wall, sooner or later we are going to get injured or get homebound and we'd like our therapist to come there. Two ways for us to connect baby boomers with our therapist. It's a generation that has the money, the resources, and we like to get what we want, how we want, when we want, and we can afford it. The last generation probably can afford it with really a lot of money. So we are going to do it via home. We would like our therapist to do home visits and via telehealth. So if the market is leading to more home visits, get off your butt and go do a home visit. You get paid by the second from the moment you leave the office, and you talk to your clients in their homes. If they prefer to do it via telehealth, get informed on telehealth. I have three online articles on home visits. I have an online course on home visits. I have an online course on telehealth. I have 119 online courses. So I have an online course of social media ethics, actually very popular digital ethics with Kili Combs. So flexibility, whether it's telehealth, texting with young clients. You know, how else would you reach a suicidal or not suicidal 16 years old? You're going to call them, you're going to reach them via text or via Facebook. And because Facebook is not conducive to psychotherapy, because confidentiality can be easily compromised, you do it via texting through the phone. By the way, another hot topic to lecture in schools and to parents is sexting, just another hot topic.
Yeah.
So you learn and you have the client, the teenager and the parent sign in the office policies to understand that perhaps the texting is not encrypted and blah, blah, blah. So they understand the vulnerability of emails and texting. So the flexibility is that we need to just meet our clients where they are. And, of course, it's applied to issues of gift and when do we touch our clients. And, of course, I have courses on gift and touching and our free article and all this thing. So when I talk about flexibility, is you need just to get to think outside the box, forget about the psychodynamic psychotherapy classes that taught you to stay in the office and to minimize self-disclosure. Won't get you very far this day and age. And start being flexible. Meet the clients where they are, whether it's via texting or via home visit, via the phone. Today, I see this lady, and we go for walks with her two dogs. This is what she likes. She's a side-by-side kind of a girl.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's almost 70. And we're going for walks with the dogs. I love it. Get me out of the office. She's a side-by-side like my daughter, so she talks better.
Mm-hmm.
I have some paranoid clients who will not be in the office. We do therapy in the car. So meet the clients where they are, especially people who are paranoid, the youngsters, and, of course, the baby boomers who likes to be in control. So we can talk about flexibility forever and ever. One more thing. Because we use texting, because we use emails, because we have electronic records of our session. Get HIPAA compliance. It will take you just probably an hour or two. If you are very good, it will take even less than that. I have the text. I have the HIPAA form in one of the online courses. You can get it within 30 seconds. So get HIPAA compliance. HIPAA is part of the standard of care. And it's not that hard, and it will not require many changes. One more form at the beginning when you see clients, the HIPAA Notice of Privacy Practices that we all sign when we see all our doctors. So because you're flexible and you use emails and you keep some electronic records, for example, of the emails, you need to be HIPAA compliant.
This is just really amazing to me. And I think the underlying message that I'm hearing throughout is that coming from a place of confidence and that you are a valuable resource and picking hot topics and inviting people to make use of you is what is one of the big things of dealing with the economy today. When a lot of people are struggling, I think part of that is fear that's keeping them. But you're saying just step out. Don't be afraid. Just step out and know that you have something to offer.
Absolutely. You know, when it comes to issues of marital problems and divorces and affairs and children, people will pay.
Yeah.
And then you have the baby boomers who will talk about the meaning of life and they're dealing with a bucket list and they'll pay as well. There is money, and we don't cost as much as houses or cars.
Right.
So we're relatively affordable.
Right.
And so seeing us can save $30,000, $50,000 in divorce costs.
Yep.
And we will not cost even a fraction of that.
Exactly. One of our favorite clients, Zora from San Francisco, says, I'm still using Ofer's autobiographical intake form from I don't know how many years ago.
And then she
reminds us that social workers have been doing home visits almost since the beginning of their profession.
Oh, I know. I just lectured to 80 of them in Los Angeles Department of Mental Health. What a wonderful day. I learned as much as I taught that day the social workers who do the home visit in L.A. I mean, what a wonderful day. Absolutely true. Social workers have been doing it for a long time. The problem is NAW, they try to kind of compete with the psychoanalyst and look super clinical, so they kind of try to see, oh, we are clinicians too. So kind of, I think NAW in some regard abandoned some of the original values of social workers in their try to compete with professionalism, so to speak, which is kind of sad in my book.
Agreed. This has just been such an incredible call. And I just, again, zoorinstitute.com if you want to check out Ofer stuff. And you're just always an incredible gift and joy for us. And I just want to thank you for taking this time out with us. And we just got some comments. Thank you so much. Somebody says, I was already making a few changes to my site while you were talking before I forgot all the gems that Dr. Zoor dropped. She's out there making change to her site right now based on what
Excellent.
You said.
Excellent. Oh, I love it. You know, and Casey, you've been fantastic. You know, you are so intelligent and personable and right on the money. So it's just a pleasure to connect with you. So, and you are really pushing the field, the entire field, in the right direction. So thank you for all what you have been doing. And I don't give compliments easily, you know that. So.
I know. Well, thank you. I'm very touched. Well, thank you again, and I'm just going to open up the lines. And everybody, we just want to say goodbye and thank you. The lines are open, so everybody say goodnight or goodbye.